Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Traina. Thanks for listening. Today, we complete our two-part year-end special roundtable with Peter Schrager from NFL Network and Fox Sports and Andrew Perloff from The Dan Patrick Show. We recapped a lot of pop culture highs and lows last week during Christmas week, if you missed that. This week, we're going to get into a lot of sports media topics and a lot of 2020 highlights and lowlights, last dance, announcers we got into this year, and a bunch of, you know, dealing with the pandemic. So it's a good episode here. Last one of 2020. Want to thank everybody for listening. Really appreciate it. If you are not a subscriber, if you can subscribe, that helps tremendously. And again, if you missed last week, part one with Schrager and Perloff, check that out. Let's get right now to part two of a special year-end SI Media Podcast Roundtable covering the year in sports, media, and pop culture with Peter Schrager and Andrew Perloff. All right, welcome to the SI Media Podcast. Joining me, same crew as last week. We did a little pop culture media discussion last week going into Christmas, now going into New Year's. Peter Schrager from Good Morning Football, Andrew Perloff back for a little sports media roundup 2020.
Is this our awards episode, Jimmy?
Awards and sports media chatter.
Okay.
Jimmy, can you take people behind the scenes about the debate we had yesterday?
Schrager thinks this is his podcast, basically.
Go on. What's up?
Yeah, there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff. Like, you guys may be like, if you're watching this on YouTube, you might be shocked that we're in the same clothes as last week. Like, everything here is just, it's wild. But I wanted to talk about some sports media stuff, do like a year in review thing.
Yep.
But Schrager does work for NFL Network and Fox. So, you know, his objectivity could be a little bit skewed. Perloff works for the Dan Patrick Show. So he may come out and like bash every other radio show in America. So, you know, we got to walk a fine line here, but you guys know where they work. So take everything for what it is. And I'm just going to talk about some things.
Time out. Andrew, can I add in some color on this?
Please.
Text chain comes out and we politely ask, if we're reviewing the entire year in sports media, can we kind of get some ideas what we want to talk about so we can kind of be prepared? And it was all like things that Jimmy was interested in that I don't give a shit about. Like Eli Manning joined Twitter. I'm like, Jimmy, that's not a thing.
But that was not going to be a single topic. What I was going to say, like, here, I'll do an example of what I wanted this to be. Okay. So this is what I wanted to do with these guys. Okay. I was going to say, all right, Peter, Andrew, it's been like a crazy year in sports media for some things. Let me ask you, I'm going to give you a bunch of sports media stories. You tell me which one you enjoyed the most or your favorite.
Oh, like a rapid fire?
Did you enjoy Eli Manning joining Twitter, everyone going crazy about Eli joining, and then it turned out to be the biggest bust ever because all he did was promote products? Tom Brady interview on Howard Stern, 2+ hours. Patrick Mahomes signs the biggest contract in NFL history. The story was broken by someone who works in a liquor store.
That was a good story.
Or a guy suing the NFL because he thought the J-Lo Shakira halftime show was porn. Which of those sports media stories did you enjoy? That was how I was going to do it. So if you didn't want to talk about Eli, you didn't have to.
That's funny.
If you wanted to comment on those stories, then the floor is open for you to comment.
But Jimmy, I read your column today on sportsillustrated.com, and it was exactly those topics.
Well, that's why. But I wanted to have you guys weigh in with your opinions on those topics.
The next thing you're going to ask me, my thoughts on the Tiger King. Like, who cares? Come on, let's talk about what stuff we care about. Let's go.
Well, no, but it wasn't going to be talk about Tiger King. It was going to be, was Tiger King, if you had to pick one, going back now, what did you enjoy more, Tiger King or The Last Dance? Because those were the two biggest shows of the pandemic.
Yeah. I mean, let's just jump right into this because Last Dance is a big piece of what I got for this year.
Go ahead.
I thought Last Dance was the greatest thing I've ever seen on sports TV, man. and I swear to God, I love that thing so much. I look forward to it on Sundays. Like I used to look forward to, you know, Saturday Night Live as a kid or whatever else it was. Like, I can't tell you how much I enjoyed those six episodes and what that represented and how much it was needed, the timing when they put that out there in late March and early April, like, gosh, I needed that. So I thought the storytelling, whatever, in the moment, I think I was like, well, I'd like to hear from Craig Hodges. Who the fuck cares about Craig Hodges? In hindsight, I absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
And I cherished it. I thought it was so good. So to me, that was the winner of all sports media this year, The Last Dance. That thing was a savior.
Now, before I go to Perloff, This is a perfect example of I know what I'm doing, because in those sports media awards that you mocked, Andrew, I said the media event of the year was The Last Dance. And now here's Peter orgasming over The Last Dance. So I, this was how I envisioned the pod, and it's going the way I wanted it, despite you two texting me and harassing me, basically trying to take over the pod and put your own categories in there. Now, everything Peter said about The Last Dance was correct. It was the sports media event of the year. ESPN rushed it. Good job. They needed it during the pandemic. There were no sports going on. My only issue with The Last Dance is what I wrote. Like, there was a little too much of like, Jordan treated his teammates like shit in practice, and that's why they were good. No, they were good because Jordan and Pippen were the two best players in the NBA. Everything else about The Last Dance was tremendous. Pearl, off the floor is yours.
Okay, I did not rip your media column. It was really entertaining and good.
We'll let the people judge.
I just already read that outline the day before when you said it, as if you were preparing those topics for the podcast, when in reality, you were preparing them for your column.
For both.
And then Peter just made a suggestion, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay, well, I guess it's your podcast. It was just a suggestion, and you got so sensitive. You're like, I'm not sensitive. Why doesn't Peter just host it?
Just come on and answer the questions.
So Peter basically just summed up The Last Dance so eloquently that there's nothing on earth I could possibly say, except that I love that, you know, I'm on a daily radio show. Like, we needed a topic.
Oh, my God.
So it's like we had Michael Jordan in the 90s as a topic. It saved 3 months of our lives when there was no sports at all. It was a godsend. And I agree. And although, and I do disagree a little thing, those guys won because they had Jordan, not Jordan and Pippen. Oh, hot take there.
There's the against the grain.
Yeah.
You know,
you're right. They didn't win because he punched Steve Kerr in the face.
You know, I don't know if Shriggs know this. I don't know if we've ever discussed this at one of our dinners. You know, Perloff does this against the grain podcast. When we worked together at SI.com 100 years ago, I started like one of those like WordPress blogs after one of Perloff's hot takes one day in the office. And you're the football expert and you know more about football than anyone. So I'm going to tell you what Perloff said and get your natural reaction.
Okay.
Again, keep in mind, this is 100
years. Year.
This is like 2000, basically.
Yeah. 2006, maybe?
2000. Yeah. 2005, 2006. He makes a statement that LaDainian Tomlinson is not a good running back because all he does is run 7 yards and fall down. So I named the blog Run 7 Yards and Falls Down, and I kept track of all of Perloff's bad hot takes.
I did not say he was not a good running back. I just said he wasn't. All he does is run 8 yards and fall down. You know, in Madden, when you can like dive with your runner a little bit and
get the extra yard.
But you're ending the run. That's LT. And I had stats to back it up. Adrian Peterson has 1,070-yard runs. LaDainian Tomlinson did not. He went 8 yards and fell down.
Go ahead.
I think that's the fun part about it. Like, you could debate Peterson versus Tomlinson and make that argument, but in a vacuum, that's the dumbest thing you ever heard, right?
No, because my Tom Brady takes were way dumber. That's what I was actually famous for.
Is there a take that you were so stuck to and so hell-bent on that you couldn't maneuver out of, and you kind of like have to like for example, to start the year, I was like, I don't know, man. I've been down the Buffalo Bills hype machine. I roll my eyes at the guys jumping on the tables, and I'm like, win a big game before I got to do this whole thing about how sweet and sentimental this Bills fan base is. And then they became the best team in football. And I have to openly admit on air, I'm like, this team's really good and their fan base is great. And it's kind of like, I got to get, but is there any time where you just are so tied to a take that like you can't get off of it?
Well, for me, it's always been the Andy Dalton Bengals I picked for the Super Bowl like 3 years in a row. Remember that one really good year? Oh, I was on fire that year. They were like 9-0, and then he hurt his thumb because he tried to tackle a guy after an interception. So that Dalton has always been my take, too. But I've been there. You know, I have one. Actually, my most famous cold take, old take to expose, is it's so dumb. But in the 2011 draft, the Panthers drafted Luke Kuechly, and I said, oh, my God, what kind of dumb team takes a linebacker this high? There's no way he's going to be a special player for them. And old take to expose leads off every draft with that take. You guys, was that Luke Kuechly, the dumbest pick ever. Yeah. Oh, geez.
That is tremendous. Now, let the record show. This whole discussion about bad hot takes is because Perloff said the Bulls won because of Jordan, not Jordan and Pippen, and as we were talking about The Last Dance. The other issue I had with The Last Dance is – not an issue. I shouldn't say I had an issue. When I watched The Last Dance, I had one thought in my head every single minute watching that is, Imagine Jordan in this Twitter cell phone era. It's a whole different career because he looked like he couldn't handle the media back then, which was basically a bunch of pussycats compared to now. So I thought that was interesting.
I don't know. They had some of those Sam Smith articles where he was openly reporting on him going gambling. And like, yeah. I don't know. If,
yeah, well,
you look at the media now, Jimmy, LeBron James on ESPN, it doesn't seem like they're actually coming out with knives, my friend.
Why? He's the best player in the league and has won 5 titles. Why would they come out with knives?
It seems like LeBron sets the tone in the conversation and a lot of the
because he's the best player in the league.
All right.
Man.
What? Go ahead. Give you NBA.
LeBron. No. LeBron just, everybody's blood pressure rises around LeBron, which actually, by the way, was the B topic around Jordan was, is LeBron challenging Jordan? Like it became like the next thing right after the Jordan documentary, which makes sense.
But this is why this is all stupid, because the reality is Jordan is 1 and LeBron's 2. And that's somehow a knock that LeBron's 2. Like, how is that?
I don't think LeBron believes that. And that's fine.
And there's a lot of people who don't. I'm saying for me, I'm saying most people think it's Jordan 1, LeBron 2, LeBron 2. So if he's 2, how's that a knock? How's that a way to, I mean, listen, if people want to say that he has not had one of the top careers in the history of any athlete, then they're not paying attention. I mean, to use him as being second behind Jordan as a knock is insanity.
I'm going to bring it to sports media. If you were to tell Dan Patrick that Colin Coward is number 1 and Dan Patrick's number 2, and that's fine, number 2 is fine, I think Dan would be outraged.
I would expect LeBron to think he's number 1. But I'm talking about for everyone else outside of LeBron.
But it's not unanimous because there's a whole generation that is 20 years younger than us that believe LeBron is better than Jordan.
Yeah, they're fine. Yeah, because they didn't see Jordan. So that's fine. They're allowed. My point is, you're allowed to say LeBron is 1. You're allowed to say LeBron is 2. And if you say LeBron is 2, that's not an insult.
You know what
people
I loved
that as an insult.
You know what I loved about The Last Dance? I watched it with my wife and she was aware of the NBA and like, she got really into it and she was asking about Gary Payton and she got, you know, what's up with this, with the Cavs? Like, so Craig Elo was his great defender. I'm like, not really, like kind of glamorize that a little bit. Like, I don't know, Gerald Wilkins and Ron Harper weren't exactly, you know, Jordan stoppers either, but it felt like it was universal and everyone was watching it.
Did so the less,
not just females or my wife, but like everyone was watching it. It felt like a national event, which was so cool.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And because there was no sports going on at that time and it was needed. Did you guys though feel old watching it? Because I remember I remember the reaction on Twitter. Like so many people were like just finding out about like Dennis Rodman's antics for the first time. And I remember whether I was in high school, college, I don't even remember, but
man,
like,
come on.
Dennis Rodman wearing the wedding dress, Dennis Rodman dating Madonna. Like that was like, that was like 24-hour news cycle stuff. And the fact that people don't remember that or didn't know that, I was like, oh my God, I'm just an old bastard at this point.
Oh, do you ever see those videos where they interview like the guys in the national title game and say, do you remember this player? And it's like a guy from 2008. And they're like, I've never heard of LaDainian Tomlinson. You know, they don't even know Jordan as a player. They know him as a clothing guy.
Yeah, 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 that's true.
So yeah, we're old. There's no doubt about it.
No doubt.
I like it. I see it every day with the NFL, like, you know, and it's even people that you would think of, like, they don't know John Madden coached football. They don't know John Madden broadcasted football. Right. They know John Madden as a video game, you know, and as an idea.
Well, go ahead.
I like the clothes in the Jordan documentary, too, because I always thought the 90s was like kind of cool. Like, but the 90s was more like a Theo Huxtable shirt era than I remember.
But it was cool.
It was kind of 80s, like. That was like really struck me how
the 90s were kind of 80s. I love the Perloff takes.
Like the suits were huge. Like they were like gigantic. Jordan's suit pants would come up to like right above his belly button.
Did anything come close to the feeling of that being the thing of the year in sports media?
I don't think anything did, but I did want to ask you guys, were there any other sports related shows that you got into, that you looked at differently? I mean, I have to say, you know, I think having that lull there in the middle of the year where there were no sports, I mean, that was hard. That was really hard. But I did get into some of the older, They ran a couple of old games from the 80s on MLB Network that I got into. NFL Network ran it. I think there was like a Patriot Dolphin game from the 80s. I thought all the networks, I don't want to knock your network, but I thought all of them, MLB, NFL, they all dropped the ball by showing ESPN especially. They showed way too much recent stuff instead of dipping into the 80s. And I guess there's rights issues. And I've heard there was issues with like the tapes don't hold.
SD versus HD. Sure.
Yeah. Give me any random Houston Oilers, Cincinnati Bengals, 1984, Warren Moon, run and shoot from the Astrodome over in standard def over high def Chiefs Rams from 2 years ago on ESPN. Yeah. Like, it's not even an issue.
I'm with you 100%. I think NBA TV does the best job with that. They have this archive. They play it.
And oh, it's the best.
It's so good. And you'll watch it and be like, oh, 1990 Jazz Sonics. I don't know the ending. I do know Sadale Threet's on the court. And I do know that Dale Ellis is bombing. But Simmons actually did something with, I forget who even was. It was called the Rewatchables. And they would go back and watch some of those Bulls games and then just do full hour-long podcast after they watched the Bulls with Jordan. And it's like, that's so next level. It's you're asking me to watch a game again and then to go listen to a podcast about a game that happened 30 years ago. And sure enough, in the pandemic, I was like, I got nothing else to do. I'll watch this game. And then I'd find it on YouTube and then I'd listen to the podcast and it was great.
But then I got tired of old games about a month in. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do it anymore. Did you guys get fatigue on them?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You needed real sports at that point. It was getting.
Was baseball, when it finally came back on, did you feel like it felt normal to me? It was so hard to like feel like it was baseball without the fans.
I thought it was I got into a big fight with Chris Russo on this podcast 2 weeks ago because I said the baseball season was not legit. He thinks it's legit. So you can go back and listen to that if you want. If your regular season is 162 games and you play 60 and you're playing in neutral stadiums, which doesn't happen in a normal year. It's not a real season as far as I'm concerned. I watched the Yankees, but I never really took the season seriously.
I did think one thing, it was crazy. And Peter, this is a shot at your league a little bit. The NFL draft going on time shocked me. I was like, there is no way.
I was shocked too.
People got to realize nothing in the country was happening in April. And the NFL's like, all right, let's go. And I got to tell you,
they pulled it off well, though. They pulled it off well.
So much fun content. Yeah. And I was like, thank God they're doing this.
I was going to say that was my breakout or like trend. Like the NFL makes a lot of money and does a lot of great stuff in the local towns that they have the draft, whether it be Philadelphia or Nashville. And it's a cool experience, but my gosh, was that Thursday night not awesome going into the coaches' living rooms and seeing their families and seeing all that. And then having Goodell, who typically is shirt and tie suit, very, robotic, sitting on a lounge chair in his basement, eating M&Ms. Like, I think it actually did a lot for the NFL is like softening the league image, but also was cool to see Mike Vrabel's living room. And it was cool to see Belichick up in Nantucket with a dog. Like, it was different. I loved it.
They pulled it off really, really well. They really did. Got to give them credit for that. Was there, besides the Dan Patrick Show, obviously, and besides Good Morning Football, is there a sports radio show or a sports podcast you gravitated to, got turned on to, enjoyed this year in 2020? I know for me, when I was working in the city in Manhattan at the SI.com offices, I wasn't able to listen to FAN a lot because I'm at my desk. I have headphones on. But I have to say, being home, I got it. Howard, I listen to Howard every day, but Howard's only on Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday. I mean, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. What did I just say? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, which is the sweetest deal in all of media. Guys on 3 days a week, makes all that money. So I started to get into like Boomer and Geo on WFAN, which I had really not listened to before. And a little bit of Moose and Maggie, Mark Melusis, Maggie Gray, shout out to them. So I got like back into FAN a little bit, like in the mornings during the day on like Tuesdays and Thursdays when Howard wasn't on. So I sort of got into that. And
how did local sports talk radio do during this? Was it still the manic energy or was it?
During the pandemic, it was a lot of like non-sports. I didn't listen to it as much then, but once sports came back, then I would listen to it, FAN in New York, and this is how local radio is, I think, across the country. But like, they'll spend 2 hours on who's the second lefty out of the Yankee bullpen. Mm-hmm. And in the pandemic, there was sort of something refreshing about that.
It felt normal, right?
Yeah. If I wanted, like, I don't need the sports talk radio hosts breaking down COVID, but I would go to like Chris Russo for that because I knew it would be so ridiculous and absurd on Sirius. So like that's how I worked it.
But Boomer Esiason will go there. He'll he's got, you know, because Boomer is so established.
Yeah.
He's gonna say what he wants to say about that. Right. I found that interesting because I hear that show too. You know, I didn't mind people talking COVID during that April, May, because like that's what I wanted to hear.
You know,
I didn't want to hear about the Yankees bullpen. I wanted to hear how's everybody doing with this? Is there any news? What's the deal? We were all in New York and like it was ground zero. Like I actually needed facts to see what the heck was going on.
Right. So were there any pods or radio shows you got into sports related in 2020?
So the bubble starts with the NBA and there's no football. There's no training camp. I'm not into the baseball because I'm just not. And I was like, I haven't watched the NBA closely on a day-to-day basis, like probably since high school. I got really into the NBA and I really thought it was fun to watch. And I thought with no travel and the focus of these games, I thought the play was really good. Like, I think people don't realize that these guys are on planes 4 days and five nights and they got these games and they're half-assing. Like, the bubble, the NBA action was really good and intense. And then I found podcasts that talked NBA, which I would never have listened to. One of them was called Pod Don't Lie, and it was with a comedian, Sam Morril from New York, and another comedian, big Greek guy named Stavros, who I think is from Baltimore. Really good. These guys were great, and they would talk NBA. And then on The Ringer, there was a guy, Kevin O'Connell, who I never...
Kevin O'Connor. Yeah.
Never listened to. I know Simmons had him on a few times. It just was like, he's 10 years younger than me. I'm not listening to him. He and another guy who I'm blanking on... had a podcast called The Mismatch, and it was probably 2 days a week. And I listened to that. And then JJ Redick had a podcast and I would listen to that. So I got into the NBA a lot over the summer. And I think once the NBA picks up this week, I might get back into those guys.
I'm so grateful for you for mentioning the JJ Redick pod, because I wanted to mention it because I think I only listened to it once, but I think that's the best podcast, NBA podcast name there is out there. The Old Man and the Three is a great podcast name.
He had Patrick Beverley on, and Patrick Beverley is known as this rabble rouser and this instigator. And it was a former teammate of his. And Patrick Beverley is a totally different guy now to me than when I heard him on JJ Redick. So I thought that podcast was really good.
But
I saw JJ Redick on the street the other day. He's a close neighbor. His kids go to the school, just name dropping.
Are you allowed to listen to other radio shows besides Dan?
No, I gotta be honest. You know, I'm in the car on the way to Connecticut. I do podcasts, and I'm just gonna give a shout out to my nerdy football friends. You know what? People do a nice job. The PFF guys, Sam and Steve, who you know, Jimmy, CBS, Will Brinson. You know what Will does he does 6 5 days a week. So if you're looking for like regular football kind of, you know, and I can't watch you on TV, Peter, because I'm in the car. So that's a good one for me.
I love the awkward moment.
Yeah. No, I feel weird. And if I don't mention, and you know, and I don't know. And I do have to give a shout out. I'm friends with Big Cat. So part of my take is laugh out loud funny. And I'll tell you why part of my take is funny. And it's because individually as comedians, but those guys, like they support each other's takes and they laugh at each other's jokes in a genuine way. I think that's a good model for how to do a podcast, because like they're really like they play off each other's jokes.
They also get tremendous guests.
Yeah, they have tremendous guests. They have Blake of the Year, and one of them's not. I think they expanded it to non-Blakes for Blake of the Year. Blake Griffin's hysterical. Yeah. Blake Bortles is hysterical.
Let me ask you a question about those guys, because this is an interesting theory. I feel like guests on Good Morning Football, we have some of the best guests in the world. And I don't know if the viewers are watching the show for the guests.
Nope.
You guys on Dan Patrick, you'll get great guests, and nothing against these guys, but then you'll have on Reggie Miller and it's like, oh, I like listening to Reggie. He's part of the family. He's on so often. Like, I know what I'm getting. When the Pardon My Take guys have on a big guest, is that ever worth listening to? Or do you like it more when it's just the two of them talking and bullshitting?
Go ahead. I personally like the intros and the familiar guests. I think you hit on an important thing. And I think there's actually some background. Like, I've seen radio research. Guests, especially if it's a current athlete who's going to be afraid to say something, people turn the dial on that. That's why a retired athlete might be better, because they're not afraid to say something. So I think that's what you're getting at. Sorry, Jimmy.
No, I was just going to say, the issue with the guest is the guest has to come to play.
Yes.
So you can have an A-list guest who does a shitty interview. You could have a C-list guest who's hysterical. Like when Blake Griffin goes on Part of My Take, he comes to play. and he's hysterically funny on there. But you can get a situation where, like, Matthew McConaughey 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago,
he literally did
every radio show and podcast in America. I think the only pod he didn't do was the SI Media podcast. Was he on Dan Patrick?
No,
he wasn't.
Now, he's been on many times before. He wasn't for this tour.
But he did like 5,000 interviews in a 2 week span. I don't understand the value in having that person on. That's just me. Like, if they would have come to me, I would have had him on because like Matthew, like SI would have been impressed by that. But like, I would not have been into that interview on any level because I know he's done 5,000 interviews. And at that point, what's the point?
But familiarity is a big thing too. Like, for example, Paul Rudd's amazing everywhere. Like, one of those segments I saw where he was on your show, Peter, and he knows the show. That's like the best, you know?
It's so good because he knows us, he knows the rhythms, and then he references shows that he was not on of our show, which validates us. You know, it's like, I was watching 3 weeks ago and Kyle said this, and we're like, oh, that's hilarious. I would, not to throw it right back at you, but one of the coolest experiences I've had in the last few years is I'm in studio at Dan Patrick and Adam Sandler is chilling there and he's doing two segments. And the connection you guys have with Sandler makes it so much cooler than just Adam Sandler doing a press junket and showing up on Dan Patrick.
Right. That's the key right there.
Yeah. But what do you think of current athletes, Jimmy? Like, for example, a guy, say he's 24, he's 3 years in the league. Like, I would have Sam Darnold or somebody like, you know, they're not going to say anything because they can't.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they're not, you got to get the athletes who have some personality. Like I bet Juju's a fine interview because he probably will say some things, but you know, you got to develop a rapport and some sort of relationship. And then, you know, if they're a current player, they're going to be very limited in what they say.
Unless they're a made man. Like, I think there's a good rule, and again, I'm abandoning Good Morning Football because we'll have on a lot of the young guys to kind of give them a platform to showcase their personalities in football when they're wearing masks. It's hard, but a good rule of thumb, I think, would be you either got to be in the league 5 years or more, or you got to be over the age of 30 before you're going to be coming on for an 8-minute segment on the radio. Otherwise,
I'll kiss your ass for a little bit, though. But what I like about what you guys do at Good Morning Football is you will have on players. May not be an A-list guy, may not even be a B-list. You know, you'll have on these players who are maybe unknowns, and then you can see who's got a good personality, who doesn't. You guys have had on guys who, like, I just know the name, and then they come on, I'm like, oh, that guy's funny. That guy. Yeah.
I'd rather have Jamal Williams, who's a huge personality on the Packers, who might be your fourth fantasy running back. I would much rather have him than Drew Brees, honestly.
Right. No, I totally get it. I totally get it. Sports pods and sports radio. That's what we were talking about. I lost my train of thought on that. That was good stuff. And as always, I watch Good Morning Football every morning, unlike Andrew. So let's get that established.
Wait, I'm in the car and I'm doing my own show, which is why do you watch the Dan Patrick show on the Peacock?
Oh, good question.
What? Because I don't get the Peacock.
Well, I'm going to come to your house in Long Island and we're going to download Peacock.
You're going to give me the cock?
Yeah.
Stop.
It's on the Peacock.
Stop.
All right. Give me some underrated people in sports media who you've enjoyed in 2020 who don't get, not, you know, not Joe Buck and not, is there anybody like, you know, Orlovsky's a big guy that everyone talks about. Is there anyone like you say, like that guy's good, that guy.
Wait. So Orlovsky is like, he wouldn't be underrated because he's rated pretty highly.
He's getting rated now. He's pretty rated right now. He's pretty rated.
Peter, you go first.
Okay, that's interesting because I would say Orlovsky is a stud. I love watching his stuff, but I don't watch him on TV. It's ESPN. I'm not watching it, but I like his stuff on Twitter. So I'm like, all right, he's going to break down a play on Twitter, which is such a different way to look at it. Like, I don't watch the competitor in the morning get up, and I am so footballed out that I'm probably not watching, you know, Dominique Foxworth or whoever else on NFL
Live.
Is
there a Fox guy who's on like a pregame show who's good, who you like, who, you know?
Yeah, so... You know, it's interesting. To me, underrated, it doesn't necessarily have to be.
Flying under the radar, in a way.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to necessarily be a guy that is an ex-player or something. So, like, Charles Davis joined Ian Eagle this year in the booth, and Charles Davis and Kevin Burkhart were always great on Fox. I find myself laughing out loud at Charles and Ian's back and forth, and they're a first-year team. And I know Ian Eagle gets a lot of credit, and everyone loves Ian Eagle in the media. in a weird way, and nothing against Dan Fouts, Charles Davis is like picking up his references. So this past week, and we're talking about week 15.
Oh, I know.
You know, Charles Davis is like, that's a where's the beef formation with three offensive linemen. And out of nowhere, Ian Eagle's like, shout out to Clara Piller. And I Googled
Clara remember the name instantly. Yeah. It was,
she's it was the old great. Lady from the Where's the Beef commercial. Yep. And the two of these guys, they did a Queen's Gambit bit back when it was Cardinals Bills in that Hail Mary game. Like, and they're on it. They're like talking Beth Harmon, like, that's a broadcast to me that is, everyone says, oh yeah, I love Charles Davis, I love Ian Eagle. But like, to watch the broadcast from start to finish, you're like, okay, these guys are speaking a language and they actually really like each other. I think that's a cool watch.
This isn't for this podcast, but we'll get into it in 2021. But the most fascinating sports media storyline of 2021 is going to be the Jim Nantz contract situation.
Yeah.
Because you would think CBS would never let him leave, but they have Ian waiting in the wings. And if Ian became the top guy, America is going to fall in love with him because he is so funny and so natural. And he's not, you know, a stuffy sort of sports media person. And what's interesting about the Charles Davis thing that you brought up, let me plug the Sports Illustrated Media podcast. Ian was on before the NFL season started and said, like, he, because of COVID, he was not able to meet Charles Davis in person. They weren't able to go out to dinner before the season started. They weren't able to do a practice game. They got thrown in together with COVID with, you know, basically meeting each other when they did the game. So the fact that they've already developed chemistry is good.
That's Charles Davis. I mean, Peter, you know, he's like a famous diva, one of the biggest.
High maintenance.
Yeah. He's so high maintenance.
People are going to think you're serious, just so you know, if they're not watching.
No one who's ever met Charles Davis will think that. By the way, Ian Eagle used to do Nets games with Mark Jackson. It was Seinfeld funny. I am not exaggerating. The two have nothing in common whatsoever, and they picked off each other, and it was 2 hours of comedy in Brendan Byrne Arena. It was my favorite telecast ever. So, and by the
way, not to brag about being older than you, but I'm so much older than you that I remember Ian doing the games with Raftery. Now, if you think Ian Eagle and Mark Jackson are funny together, Ian and Raftery. Yeah.
And this is before Vince Carter and Jason Kidd. I'm with Jimmy here. Those were terrible Nets teams.
Oh, yeah.
And Ian and Raf were great. Ian used to do the Jets games on the radio, and I would be going to traveling soccer all over the East Coast, and I'd listen to the Jets games. He was the voice of the Jets on FAN.
Can I give my underrated, by the way?
Yes, please. I was waiting for it.
You're never going to guess it. It's a former quarterback who does have a big platform. You know who says really smart things and covers it up with a somewhat goofy delivery? Chris Sims' draft profiles are fire, actually. He predicted Josh Allen. He predicted Lamar Jackson. He gets every quarterback right, but he's such a nice guy, and he's so non-confrontational that nobody realizes that Chris Sims says really like Orlovsky smart. I love Orlovsky too, but I think like Chris Sims is a little bit underappreciated as a football analyst because everyone just likes him, and he does, you know, he's in Phil's shadow sometimes. What do you think?
That was a good choice. I like that.
Chris is great. Chris has worked at this for a while. I'm going to throw in another one here. And it's like, you're like, what? Like middle-aged white guy doing a highlight show. But Chris Rose on the NFL Network does a wrap-up show on Sunday nights that is never going to have a commercial about it. There's never going to be much talk about it. It's not going to win any awards from Richard Deitch or any of the other sports media guys. But it is an hour-long highlights show of the NFL the week that was, and it does top 10 catches and it does top 10 dazzling plays. And Chris, it's just him. And it's like, I don't know. There's something for that. And maybe I'm an older generation where I don't need all the highlights on my phone and I'm not staring at my phone all day, but like I might miss the Colts Titans game. And I just think there's a place for a standard hour long highlight show that is not a lot of crazy analysis and no crazy fluff.
Yeah, I'm old. I see all the highlights by 8 o'clock, so I'm good to go. But I like that. That's a good shout out there because that's an underrated. Go ahead, bro.
One more. I don't think he's underrated. He's highly rated. But Louis Riddick's so good on Monday Night Football. Why would that dude want to be the Lions GM? I'm just saying that, like, it's hard to be good in that booth. And I feel like he's got it. So why be a GM in a team that can never get it together?
I think that's a big misconception by people at home, too, that the GM is like the end all be all. And we know. I could be candid with you guys. There was rumors of that I might be the Jets GM last year that came out and it wasn't true. And I've denied it. And it was positioned the wrong way, but I truly genuinely mean this. I would rather do my job that I do, that I love, that I've worked my whole career for, than be a general manager. Now, Lewis Riddick, he was a front office guy, but he's been on TV for 5, 6, 7, 8 years. To me, I agree. I think the Monday night gig is pretty awesome if they're going to give him a long-term deal. Like, I almost feel like that's a more secure, more high-profile, and maybe more rewarding job unless you really want to be a GM.
The problem with him, though, is he knows if he's aware, he knows in the back of his head that he can get blown out at any second. As soon as Peyton Manning says he wants a job, Lewis Riddick is out the door. That's all it takes. All it takes is for Peyton Manning to make one phone call and say, I'm ready to broadcast, and Lewis Riddick has no job.
But I feel
he'll have a job, but he doesn't have that job.
I think he's so good that he'll land in a good spot. That's because if Peyton Manning takes that job, then some other job. The other thing about Peyton Manning, by the way, they're saying, like, what is $30 million when you're paying $2 billion for rights? So I would shell out that money for, you mentioned Nance. I'd shell out that Nance money.
Well, Romo got $17 million at the beginning of the year. So Peyton will probably get $20.
I think that's a bargain for Peyton. And I think whatever they pay Nance is a bargain, because I don't think Tony Romo's worth $17 without Nance there. Although good point. Ian Eagle would be great, but Nance makes Romo so much better.
Yeah, Nance does 100 things for that. He's the face of the network, does the Masters, does the tournament.
The CEO of Zoom probably made a lot of money and had great timing on this whole thing. Tony Romo signed his new deal when we were at the NFL Combine, which I think was March 5th. Tony Romo signed a $17 million a year long-term deal 10 days before the world shut down with COVID. It is the most incredible timing of any deal you'll ever see in sports broadcasting.
I remember, I think the last pod I did was like a pod with Marshan about the contract. And that was the last pod in studio before we got, kicked out of the offices because of COVID. There's something I wanted to mention.
By the way, are we allowed to do our power rankings of media reporters? Because
Go for it.
Neil Bass, Marshawn, Jim Miller, you, Deitch.
I wouldn't put myself in there, but go ahead.
I would never.
I'm a John Orand guy. I think he's got the goods.
See, nobody could ever rank those guys. You can't rank media reporters because you want to stay on the media reporter's good side.
Katie Nolan made a great point on this podcast when I had her on once. I mean, she said, like, there needs to be a person who covers the people who cover sports media.
It's funny.
Like, who's covering Marshawn and Deitch and me? Yeah.
By the way, you talk about like guests. Like, if you have Marshan on your pod, Jimmy, I listen to your pod. I'm like, oh, I got to listen to whatever Marshan's going to say. Yeah. Then you can have like some huge A-list star promoting a book. I'm like, fast forward.
Yeah, I try not to put those people on.
He gets good scoops. And I feel like he was the Yankees beat reporter for so long. And then he just jumped into this beat and is like, all right, I'm going to own this beat. Like, he had a good year, man.
Yeah, he gets the scoops.
How's your buddy Deitch doing up in Toronto? Everything
I was on his podcast this week, last week. So yeah, he's doing good.
All right, lives in Toronto full time, not New York.
Yeah, he moved there maybe over a year ago. Yeah. Here's a question for you. You both know a lot of athletes because of your shows. DP gets great guests, Good Morning Football, and just as a reporter, you give me an athlete. Doesn't have to be from your sport, or it could be. Give me a current athlete who you want to see make the transition into sports media when they're done playing, who you think would be great on TV. Mm.
Mm. All right, so I'll go first here. I think when you see a Drew Brees sign a deal with NBC and everyone says, oh, that's obvious. I look at it and I'm knocking Breezes. I haven't heard Brees say many introspective or enlightening or things that are any different than some of these other ex-quarterbacks yet. Whether you like him or not, and a lot of people in the NFL do not, Aaron Rodgers, when he goes on with Pat McAfee, says things. He says things that are interesting. He says things that are funny. He says things that are weird. I'm not treating him like he's Barkley, like I'm going to give you this crazy take and be this outward personality. But I think it's a different kind of voice in the NFL. And, I know the networks are lining up for the Breeze and the Rivers and whoever, Brady, of course, if he wants to do it. But I think Rodgers might be the most unique voice because I think he's like a truly, truly different type of thinker. I would say Rodgers to me.
The problem with that, though, is he's already said he has no interest in going into the sports media.
We don't know that. You don't know that.
I'm just saying that's what he said.
These guys are going to own their own platforms at some point. Like Russell Wilson, to me, I no interest. Like, and I love Russell. I think he's a great guest and he's a great ambassador for the sport. But I watch enough interviews where I'm like, Russell's awesome for what he is. Rodgers, I'm watching an interview. You have no idea where it's going.
I agree with that. I'm just saying he's made it clear that he hates the media and he has no interest in being a part of the media. So I'd like to see it happen, but I think it's going to be tough to get your wish on that. That's all I'm saying. Go ahead, Andrew.
Peter, you're presenting it like a hot take. You're like, I'm going to pull this name out. You're not going to believe this. The third best quarterback in the history of the game, who's incredibly funny in every interview. Of course, Aaron Rodgers would be amazing. I'm curious what you guys think about, and I don't think he would do it, but how do you think Brady would be as an announcer? And keep in mind, Romo never said anything in his playing days. See, the driest interview of all time.
My answer to this question would be Brady, because I think, one, he's the greatest quarterback of all time, so there's an instant credibility there. If Romo was able to do what he did in the transition from quarterback to announcer, can you imagine what Brady could do? And, you know, if you listen to him on that, with that 2-hour interview with Howard Stern, like, he has a personality. He chooses not to show it, but he's got a personality. And, you know, I thought we'd see more of Brady's personality when he got away from Belichick. I thought Belichick sort of, you know, would keep the shackles on him a little bit, but we haven't seen it. And it's been like, listen, they're having a good year. I don't think they're having a great year as people expected, given how loaded they are on offense. So maybe, you know, Brady's keeping some stuff bottled in there, but I think if he ever let loose, he'd easily be the number one guy I'd want to see do it.
You know, a lot of people call in and write in, they want to see Philip Rivers do it. Yep. He's a hot name with us. You know, is Richard Sherman already considered a media member? I don't even know where he falls.
He used to write for SI.com.
I mean, he is so, like, he's, you know, he opines like a media member. But I wonder, a guy like that, should he go on to an ESPN show like Orlovsky and have to comment every day, or should he do a game? Like, what's the best spot for him? A pregame show like Nate? I'm kind of curious, because I think, like, he's so strongly opinionated, I'm not sure the best way to use that.
Pre-game show, because the opinion, there's no one wants to hear your opinion when you're calling a game. We want to hear your insights, but okay. I don't think we want that to be your moment to, you know, wax poetic on the players' union. I would say what's interesting about Brady is that I think he has a great desire to be a media mogul of his own. Yeah. We saw the Tom versus Time. I believe, and I don't know if it's announced, he's got a production deal with one of the networks, like, for something in the works. I don't know which one. I don't remember, but I remember when all this stuff was happening, like, I was curious if he was filming the free agency stuff, because I thought he might be turning it into a show. Like, I don't know if he wants to be the face of a media thing, but he is very interested in the way that sports media works and media for a guy who, you know, for some of his stuff is funny. And I like the fact he did the Paul Rudd show and he's, like, stretching his legs a little bit, but he's pretty much guarded for the most part.
Now, one thing is, you know, we're falling into the trap where we're all mentioning the quarterbacks, Rodgers and Brady, but, like, I wrote about it this week. I'm sure, Peter, you probably have opinions on it because he's working for your company, but, like, Aqib Talib was unbelievable doing that Eagle. Well, you and Perloff, if you're an Eagles fan, so you probably listened to
Had Aqib Talib was on the Dan Patrick show today. He was hysterical. Oh, yeah, he was great.
Jimmy, I saw your article and Pearl, you had him on the show. Universally, that was your take. I got a lot of texts from Eagles fans saying this is really tough for me to watch. Who is this doing the game? Not knowing it was Aqib Talib, because it was so different than what you usually get.
And that is what I like.
Yeah. It felt like he was right off the field too. Like, I felt like he was going to run down and, like, double cover DeAndre Hopkins at some point. You know, one name I want to ask about, and this is maybe get some inside info here. I don't know if the full story's out. I really wanted Jay Cutler.
I got info.
Yeah. What happened? So he went back to the Dolphins, and then why didn't he come back, and why isn't he in a booth? Like, they could use him.
I'll open up my bag of stories right now. So who was it it was, I guess, the number two guy? I don't know what
he was supposed
going
to do
on.
The games with Burkhart.
Yes, but who was leaving, or something happened where
John Lynch? No. Was it John Lynch?
Yes. John Lynch, John Lynch took the GM job.
Yes.
And it was this big question of who's going to do it. Is Charles Davis going to get the job? Is Chris Spielman going to get the job? Because Burkhart is your number two play-by-play. I remember being in a conversation with a bunch of Fox executives when I was out there on a Sunday and Cutler's name coming up, and everyone said, oh, like, rolling their eyes, and me saying, it's worth inquiring. I don't know if he's got many years left in his football days. And it happened pretty quickly that they met with him. Believe Burkhart met with him also, and he was apparently great. Then Gase loses Tannehill to a knee injury in August. And from what I gather, without much debate, Cutler just goes right to the Dolphins. I don't think there was much of a farewell for Fox or an opportunity to match. It was like $10 million a year versus whatever he was going to make as a broadcaster. And then by that point, he finishes the year with the Dolphins. He has the reality show with his wife. He kind of goes off, you know, the football radar. And now we are 3 years removed. He's single. I would be interested in hearing from Cutler, wouldn't you?
See, this is where I know you guys have this. We've talked about this many times off, you know, these things. There are certain people that people love and you just don't get. Cutler's that guy for me. Like, I don't get it. I don't have this desire to hear him. I don't get what's special, funny, entertaining. Like, I don't get anything about you. I watched the reality show. Like, he just seems like he stands there and doesn't say anything. Like, I don't get it. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm not saying he wouldn't be a hit in the booth. I'm not saying he wouldn't be good in the booth. I'm saying I don't get it. But that's just me on Jay Cutler.
I actually think a year out of the league, Cutler would have been really good because he was fresh with all the personalities and he would tell stories. And I think he's not politically inclined to not share stories. Like, I think he doesn't give a shit. So he would say
that would
stuff.
Be good.
But now 3 years out of the league and not knowing all the young quarterbacks and having no relationship with Baker Mayfield or Lamar Jackson, I don't know if that moment has passed.
Yeah. Hey, as long as we're getting inside info from you, Peter, how long is Troy going to stay in the booth? And is he going to go to a team at some point? Because he said on the Dan Patrick Show last year that his desire is to be an executive at some point very soon.
I didn't know.
That was last year he said that.
I don't know. Troy's
amazing, but I think that he might want to run a team at some point.
Yeah, I've never heard that. I'm actually very friendly with Troy. I've never heard that. He's never advanced that beyond what he probably told you guys. But, you know, when you see a John Lynch get that opportunity, I am sure all these guys are such competitors. They're like, well, wait, John Lynch just led a team to the Super Bowl. Like, I could maybe do that. I don't know. But Troy's really good in the booth, does Thursday night and Sunday. And I think he's having more fun with Joe this year than ever before. Like, they're really good. I think it would take a major, major opportunity for him to ever leave that. And that includes, you know, NFL, college, whatever it is, you know?
There's one team that obviously would fit for him. I mean, come on. He could join the Cowboys at some point in some capacity.
As what? If you're Troy Aikman, you're not leaving unless you have full control and you're
right. Yeah.
That's the problem.
He's not going to when Witten's head coach in 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Troy doesn't want to listen to Jerry Jones. This was a good way to wrap it because we've covered a lot and people have to go celebrate the new year. Let me give you guys, before we say goodbye to 2020, any media people you want to shout out, either for being good Twitter followers, people to follow on Twitter, I mean, anyone who's, I don't know, made a video you found entertaining, anyone who's done any show, you for any last minute, you want to kiss someone's ass in media.
Shout this is impossible anything. Because right, if we leave our friends off, if we leave our friends off, we're doomed.
All right. So then don't do it. I'm just giving you the floor. I'm giving you the floor before we say goodbye. So you don't want the floor. That's fine. You don't have to have the floor.
I got nothing. I got to be honest. After this year, which was crazy, and I went from being on the road every weekend to now being on my couch, to being in the studio every day to now being in my couch, I got to be honest and I'll be earnest about it. I'm grateful for anyone who watches either Good Morning Football or Fox NFL Kickoff because it was a lonely, weird year without working with my colleagues in person. And I think the folks on Twitter and the people who actually text and do all the stuff, like, goes a long way. And I just cannot wait till we can all be back to normal next year.
I'd like to give a shout out to you two, my old friends, my dear friends. Right. Can we edit this part out?
Yeah, Jimmy, there's no need.
Can you see this work? Well, you guys did help get me to the beginning part, the text in the beginning part of the pandemic. Someday I'm going to publish it in a book. It was a combination of humor, panic. What do we do now?
I was asking you for life advice, bro. Like, do I have to leave Brooklyn because there's germs in the, you know, in the Rite Aid store? Like, I didn't know what was going on.
None of us did.
I don't think people do right now either. I mean, it's still insane.
No, do you remember? And I'm not saying it kiddingly because who knows where this goes, but like I would get groceries from curbside, bring them in and then wash them by hand with a sponge. And I haven't done it in a while, but like that was where we were at. I was living in my own head.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I got it in March and didn't know if I had it. I was like, I think I have it.
Did you have it?
Yeah. I had it at the end of March. And then I got an antibody test in April. And I was like, well, what if that was wrong? Then I just got, I still have antibodies now, and I still don't know. It's so perplexing. Like,
do you feel invincible that you have the antibodies?
Kind of, yeah. But I don't know. I do feel a little invincible. Like, honestly, I think I was almost lucky that I had a mild to moderate case, because my blood pressure would have been through the roof for the last 9 months. So I think I actually added a year to my life by not having high blood pressure.
Tell me where you think you got it, and then also how bad it was, because I'm curious.
Oh, I did.
Wait. Yeah. You shouldn't answer this question.
Yeah.
If you want that information, go listen to Perloff's appearance on the SI Media podcast a couple of months ago. We covered it all.
I did the whole thing.
Thanks for listening. I love both of you. I will listen to it. But now that I've got you.
All right, go ahead,
Perloff. Yeah. No, I'm not going to do it. No, I don't know where I got it. And it was, you know, not too bad. I can't even get into the symptoms, you know, a little shortness of breath, sore throat, headache. But yeah, in that SI Media podcast, there's 8 minutes where John Oren talks about the future of NFL and Amazon before that led into my heart-wrenching, devastating story. Listen, about COVID. John Oren gave about 6 minutes on CBS's plans are.
If we learned anything during 2020, it's that the NFL is more powerful than COVID. So the order of that podcast was correct.
Yeah, Jimmy's like, I want you to tell your story of emotional from the heart. But first, here's 7 minutes on the MLB Network's plan for Korean baseball.
Tell me how Twitch is going to play a role with the NFL on Thursday nights.
I know people care way more about the NFL schedule than Perloff having COVID.
Including myself.
Yeah, you were asking me, what did Oren say?
Yeah. What did Oren say about Twitch?
All right, well, I appreciate you guys coming on and doing this. And happy new year, 2021. I think we are all waiting for 2021 in the worst way. Schrag will be sleeping by 10.
Yep.
Perloff will make it maybe to midnight. And fast forwarding through a show that we just started. So I appreciate you guys coming on. Happy new year. Stay safe. And hopefully we will actually see each other in 2021.
Thanks for having us on, Jimmy. Yeah. Awesome stuff as always.
Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks, Peter. Guys. Happy New Year, guys.
Bye, guys.
Thanks. All right. That wraps up this episode of the SI Media Podcast and the SI Media Podcast for 2020. We finally say goodbye to this horrific year. Hopefully 2021 is better. Again, want to thank everyone out there who's listened throughout the year. I appreciate it. It means a lot. If you're not a subscriber, please try to subscribe. And if you get any downtime, check out past episodes. Schrager and Perloff were on last week for part one of this year-end roundtable. Chris Russo on a few weeks ago, Mike Tirico and Steve Kornacki, and Chris Long as well, recent guests. So give those a listen, subscribe. And again, thanks for listening in 2020. Have a happy, healthy new year. And we'll see you in 2021 when hopefully things get better right here on the SI Media Podcast. Take care.